Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Let's go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chris Price. Filling in for John Rook on today's edition of Patriots Playbook. Usually hear me down the dial or actually across the dial somewhere else at WEI. I got the voice, don't
you
I?
You do have the voice. You turn the voice on.
Like that.
Anybody who knows Chris Price knows that is not his voice.
That's the voice. That's the radio voice. The NFL Sunday voice, the WEI voice. I'm usually over at WEI.
Normally you've got the deep baritone Barry White type thing going on.
Exactly. But I'm excited. I'm excited to be here with you guys. I'm excited to be here in the studio. For Patriots Playbook.
We're actually excited to be in the studio for a playbook show on a Wednesday. Airing a little dirty laundry there. That's all right.
That's
Eric
Scalavino.
I like it.
One of the PFW crew. We've also joined this week. Jeff Howe has been nice enough to come on down the hall and join us from Nesson.com. How you doing, Jeff?
Happy to be here. Still want to step on it.
Might want to turn your mic on.
Yeah.
The little red button there.
He's in the rookie.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm officially here now.
We're going to talk a lot because there's really, like Eric was saying, we were joking before, there's nothing going on with this team. There's nothing at all going on with this team.
It's been dead all season.
I'll say this. I'll start off by saying this. I think this team, when you consider everything that's happened with this team since the start of training camp, when you consider the Brady car crash, the Brady contract, the Moss situation, the trading of ostensibly your number one running back.
I actually forgot about the contract. I honestly did.
The contract situation. The trading of Moss, the trading of Maroney, everything that's gone on around Moss in this team, the Brandon Spike sex tape, the fact that three of your defensive starters were placed on IR at the start of the season, has there been another team, maybe other than the Minnesota Vikings, who has gone through such a tumultuous, 3 months?
I mean, you could look at the Cowboys, but most of their stuff's been on the field, and... You're not going to fall asleep many times this season. It's been entertaining. It's been fast-paced. Just when you think that you're going to have a couple days with a little bit of a break, like you said, you just listed all of the things that have happened so far this season. It's been some exciting stuff, and there's been a lot of cool things happening on the field, too. I mean, Devin McCourty's emergence. Mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo's improvement over the last month.
Just the rookies,
Tight ends.
The rookie tight ends.
Who were what
team.
We thought they were when they were drafted. How rare is it that a rookie comes in and does exactly what you predict he's going to do on draft day?
I think you can make an argument that Aaron Hernandez has exceeded expectations out of that entire group. I think we all had some expectations. I also think, frankly, even for a first-round pick, McCourty has played better than maybe we thought he was going to play at this level.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's only missed one snap now through seven games is really impressive.
I mean, I think McCourty, there's no doubt to be made that he is one of the top four cornerbacks in the AFC East. Behind the two guys in New York and then maybe Vontae Davis in Miami. And then again with the two tight ends. But with the rookies, what you have to be most cautious of is how they finish the season. Because they're always going to hit that wall.
Yep.
They've started strong. They've definitely exceeded expectations so far. McCourty, I think, more than anybody. But how are they going to handle these games in late November and December? Because they've never played a season this long before.
Well, right. this is a key stretch for them, and you know we can start out talking about the rookies and about how they, again, have either exceeded expectations or lived up to expectations. They're entering a really difficult stretch at this point because after Cleveland, you have Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Detroit on Thanksgiving, then you have the Jets.
Here's why I think that's a great point you bring up, Jeff, and I think this season's schedule is perfect for these rookies because they played on Thanksgiving, or they will be playing on Thanksgiving, which made the NFL give the Patriots a bye early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So the rookies had, you know, the four preseason games and then, what was it, four games mm-hmm. to start the season, and then they got a bye. So they had basically two full months of games. They get a bye.
I hear what you're saying.
They get a breather.
That's a great point.
Now they go with this next seven-game stretch. They had the rest at the bye. They have a seven-game stretch, some tough games in there. They end it with Thanksgiving, which everybody's always tired making the turnover from the Sunday before to Thanksgiving, every team that plays on Thanksgiving. They get not really one, but almost two byes back-to-back because they have Thanksgiving weekend off, and they don't play till the following Monday night against the Jets.
So they have a little extra
time. So they have a little extra time to rest to make up for. It's almost like they're in college again, because in college you play till a little before Thanksgiving. You have a bye week during either September or October. You take a little bit of time off in December for exams, and then you have a bowl game.
That's a
so it's
kind of
like this season is working out exactly like it would have anyway for them. I think they're going to be in fine shape come the end of the season.
I do. I agree. That's a great point. I do want to jump in really quickly and let people know that you can get in touch with us through one of two ways. You can give us a call at 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. You can also shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We're talking about this Patriots team, and we're talking about how the fact that they've gone through the first seven games, the first 8 weeks of the season with a bye, there's been something every single week with this team.
Yep.
There's never been a lack of drama, whether it's been, you know, the hoopla about playing the Jets, whether it's been the Mankins contract situation, which appears to be squared away
this
now,
is,
whether it's the Moss stuff.
This is exactly what the way you started the show is how I started the commentary that I'm writing for this next issue of PFW. I said, let's recap, and I went week by week since the beginning of the season.
And there's been something
Something major, if not major nationwide, major for New England. But even the nationwide stuff, it was a result of New England, directly involving New England somehow.
They are, I don't want to say for the first time in a while, but for the first time in at least a couple of years, they are, I'll say relevant on the national stage when it comes to the National Football League. I think they dropped off a little bit last year. I think that stretch where they struggled toward the middle of the season, they really weren't where they wanted to be. I think you can make an argument now for the first time in, a year and a half, they're truly relevant again on the national football landscape.
Yeah, I mean, last season was somewhat of an aberration in that sense, in that nobody was really talking about them. They couldn't win on the road.
Good reason.
Exactly.
Tom Brady kind of struggled. Coming off the knee, Tom Brady was a huge story. But 07, you had the undefeated season. You had the scandal at the beginning of the year. 08, you had Brady going down and Matt Castle emerging. A few different storylines there, but nothing too, other than the Brady injury.
You know, it's funny you bring up Brady in last year. I think statistically, he was on pace to have a better season last year than he is this year.
He was.
I don't think he's been spectacular this season.
And I think
by his own admission,
games, exactly.
He hasn't been great. He hasn't been click. He's putting up, high 100 to mid 200 in yardage total. He's not throwing two or three touchdowns a game. I mean, they're getting the wins. Don't get me wrong. They're getting the wins, which is the bottom line. But he's an MVP candidate, and he still hasn't really played up to his level, I don't think.
How much of that do you think is about the change in the offense, the overall change in the offense that we've seen really over the last 2 to 3 weeks since Randy Moss left? Because I agree with you. I think at least the yardage and to some extent the yards per attempt are down over the last 3 weeks. But I think that is part and parcel of the fact that you no longer have that deep threat here. You're still getting the yards after catch because Welker's still able to put up those numbers. You're also still getting the yards after catch with Hernandez, who has shown a real ability to make some serious yards after catch. But in terms of the big numbers, how much do you think that's a reflection of losing Moss or the Moss trade?
I think that's a factor. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what you're seeing, even though Brady isn't putting up those numbers, and I mean, how many times have we said it? If it wasn't for 2007, and then even what Matt Castle did in 2008, when have offensive passing statistics really mattered in this town? I mean, what has mattered, why people fell in love with Tom Brady in the early part of the decade, was because he was continuously winning games. This offense is scoring, and when they've had to put big drives together, they did it mid to late in the second half in Miami before the special teams went crazy and put that game out of focus. I mean, remember, that was a 13-point game in Miami, and on the heels of all the road losses they had last year, a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was like a four-letter word last year. So what that offense did with Woodhead and Brady and Welker and those guys in Miami was impressive. They did it again last week against Minnesota. They've had a big drive in San Diego. This team is putting together the character kind of drives. They're not going to win a lot of people many fantasy football matchups.
No.
And I think that has some people worried, and that's probably why some people want Randy Moss back in New England. But what this offense is doing when it matters has gotten them the best record in football.
And they're also getting productivity in terms of touchdowns from their running backs, from Green Ellis.
That's true.
Who's scoring every game, from Woodhead, who seems to be scoring every game. So it's not like all the emphasis needs to be on Brady's shoulder and, you know, getting touchdowns through the air, which makes them, in on paper, a more balanced team.
One of the things I wanted to, before we started to get into stuff, and you brought up the running backs, one of the questions I had for you guys is, what has happened to Sammy Morris? Is this just a matter of the emergence of Ben Jarvis? Is this the emergence of Danny Woodhead? Is it scheme? Is it opponent? Because, frankly, we haven't seen him get the same amount of touches this year that we've seen him get the last couple of seasons. What do you think is going on there?
Well, Bill Belichick trusts him more than anything to be a dependable fullback. And you've seen him have some pretty big blocks on some important runs so far this season.
He's also played a lot of special teams. We've seen him show up a lot on special teams. But just in terms of the number of touches, the number of carries that he usually gets, that's not there this year.
Right. Well, he also had a big block on one of Brandon Tate's kickoff returns for touchdowns on special teams. He's been valuable there, too. And I wonder...
Him and Woodhead, actually.
Yeah, Woodhead
made,
had the
made
big
the
one.
Lane for him.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
On either side.
Morris had the first, and Woodhead had the second down the sideline. But you see, I wonder if is Belichick saving Morris for the carries in December when he knows that the guys are going to get a little more tired? Does that even matter because he's a fullback and he's taking on contact without getting those rushing statistics? So you wonder if maybe some of that's in play. Is it a long-term chess game, I guess, in New England? Or is it just the fact that they trust Sammy Morris to do a good job as a fullback?
Well, I also think it's the fact that Sammy Morris is in his 30s.
Yeah.
And most running backs aren't productive when they get past that 30-year mark. And it was Green Ellis's time, quite honestly. They got rid of Maroney. They gave him all the chances they could possibly have given him. Green Ellis is the young up-and-comer. He proved in college that he could rush for 1,000 yards in two great conferences. And he showed flashes of it when he had the chance as a rookie. So I think they finally found a time when they could use him. You know, they brought in Fred Taylor last year. They had to give him his carries. And then when he got hurt, Green Ellis got a few starts and was productive again. Every time he's played, he's been productive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they finally said, you know what, I think it's time to try to see if he can be the lead back.
He can be the guy.
Instead of just the fill-in guy who is productive. And then Woodhead comes in rather unexpectedly and, you know, coincidentally when Falk gets hurt, so the timing couldn't have been more serendipitous for them. And he's picked things up perfectly, and he's been almost a better Falk because he's younger and quicker.
And can do a lot of the same things.
So I think Jeff's right that, you know, just let Sammy Morris be a special teamer, a fullback now and then, and keep him healthy enough so just in case something happens later on, you know that he has had the ability to fill in. And if he only has to do it for two or three games, better to do it when he's fresh at the end of the season and let these guys run wild like they have been.
See, I think they're going to need those young. I think they're going to need those old guys before the end of the season. I think we're going to see a game. We're going to see at least one or two or three games or whatever where they're going to need to get a contribution from either Sammy or Fred Taylor. And I think they're going to be able to get it because they are fresher at this time of year than they usually would be.
Yeah, I think you can definitely count on Fred Taylor having at least one or two 75, 80-plus yard games before the season's all said and done, probably in December when, like last year, they shifted more towards that running game, or they'll put more emphasis than they've put on it in the first seven games so far. But one thing I loved from yesterday is when Ivan Fears said that Sammy Morris is still running the running back meetings. And that is a really good a testament to the professionalism that Sammy Morris has. I mean, you guys see him every day. He's a really genuinely nice guy, good for the locker room. And even though his role has diminished and he's in a contract year, I mean, he knows what type of contract he's probably playing for.
We're not hearing that from him. That's true. That's
exactly. And he knows he's still going about his business just as professional as he has been in previous seasons in New England.
So you wouldn't see Sammy Morris walk to the podium and bang on the podium and say, look, you know, I love playing here in New England. I love playing for the Patriots. But you know what? I think I really say this is going to be my last year here in New England. You can put it on your ink. You know, you're not going to see Sammy Morris say that, are you?
No.
You know, it speaks to who he is and the contributions that he's made to this team. Well, let's transition then from that into the running game. And the running game and Logan Mankin's impact on the running game and on this offensive line. He was back in New England. He was back today. He texted some teammates and said he was coming back, and everyone was very happy. And Tom Brady used the word great 8 times in his opening statement, talking about Logan Mankins, about how excited he was to have him back here. What kind of impact do you think he'll make on this team I'm assuming not much right out of the gate, maybe the first two or three weeks. He's not going to be out there, but long term, what kind of impact do you see him making on this team?
Well, they haven't really missed a beat without him. So when he comes back, I'm just hoping that things stay the same. I'm really not expecting him to make any. I don't know how much more of an impact can be made by an offensive guard than has been made already this season. Mm-hmm. They've run the ball effectively. They've protected Tom Brady effectively, you know, for the most part. Connolly has played fullback when he's needed to, and they've put essentially their third string full guard in at left guard.
Also another good special teamer, too.
Right.
Connolly's right there at the point of attack on kick.
Right. So I think it's worked out great for the Patriots that they've gotten Connolly so much starting experience, because he and Mankins are the same age. You know, you might think Connolly's younger, but they came out the same year. So he was never going to get any more reps playing on this team if Mankins were still here. So they got him valuable experience. It's kind of like, you know, we've been calling him the new Russ Hoechstein ever since Hoechstein was traded, because he's an offensive lineman who can play anywhere on the line. He can play fullback. He's a versatile special teamer.
Well, he was the number one backup amongst the interior linemen,
right,
wasn't he?
Exactly.
Stepped in for Copen last year.
Stepped in for Copen at center. He can step in at guard. He might even be able to play tackle if push came to shove. But so I'm just expecting Mankins to come in, probably not this week. I would say probably more like next week at Pittsburgh, be my guess, even though he was out of practice today. They have the roster exemption for him. I just hope he comes in and things just keep going the way they have.
Mm-hmm. He'll obviously add some character to that running game, and there's no question about that. I mean, you got to like the fact that, I mean, Dan Connolly did a good job, and they're 14th right now in the league in rushing, which is a pretty big testament to a team that had, no offense to those guys, but Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead, who have never really been the number one and number two guys in an offense before.
Undrafted free agents, too.
Exactly. And you've got Connolly there. Logan Mankins is going to help that out in pass protection. I think you've seen some teams really try to go over the top of Dan Copen, and he's gotten burnt a couple different times this season. And I think you're going to have Logan Mankins' presence in there. He'll have the offensive presence, the wherewithal to help out Copen if teams are trying to really stack it right over the center. So I think he'll have somewhat of a trickle-down effect, too. Maybe it helps Matt Light. We know Matt Light has struggled at times again this season against those speed rushers. Somehow, adding Logan Mankins can help singling up the blocks, not letting Light to his left and Copen to his right get taken advantage of in times when they have this season.
What about the idea that it's continuity and consistency that build a successful offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
That you don't want to mess up what you have. This has been a very good offensive line through seven games. They've only allowed 12 sacks. They've run the ball very well. They have over 4 yards a carry. That you don't want to mess with that. That Conley's there and he's been in there, and other than really the San Diego game, he's done a very good job. I think being a part of that, and you know, you don't want to mess up that group. As good as Mankins is, do you want to risk upsetting the chemistry of that group?
You're not going to upset anything, because Mankins started in that role for the past 80 games.
Yep.
Before that. So the argument you just made was the argument that people were making in training camp about Nick Kazier taking that spot before he got hurt, and then having to replace Kazier on the right side. And, the whole O-line's in flux, because now Kazier's hurt and Vollmer's got to play over at right, and Connolly, the third stringer's got to go in. And now Wendell, who's essentially now the fourth stringer, goes in, and they haven't missed a beat. Dante Scarnecchia needs to be given a lot of credit for keeping that continuity together through all of these changes. Even in the years when they had major injuries along the O-line during the season, they never, ever have had problems replacing players at that position. Continuity, yeah, it's great, but just remember, this was a stopgap measure with Connolly. As soon as Mankins came back, he's going to get the job back. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's the best offensive lineman on the team. It's only going to get better, not worse, with him coming back.
I agree. It's not like you're bringing in, I mean, as great as Steve Hutchinson is, for example, if they brought in Steve Hutchinson this week, then maybe you worry about some continuity issues.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Mankins has done it for 5 years, so there's really no need to worry, I don't think.
You guys think 2 or 3 weeks? My outside guess was Detroit.
I think he'll play at Pittsburgh next week.
You think he'll play Pittsburgh next week?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a matchup thing? You think he's going to be ready?
No, I think just conditioning-wise, and he said today he hasn't hit anybody in months. He's got to, I think, get a week of practice under his belt to get used to that. And Pittsburgh game is going to be huge, as we were talking about at the end of the other show.
And if he practiced today, Eric, he had to have already passed the conditioning test, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't go on the field until you do all that. So he's obviously in physical condition, but he's not maybe yet in football condition.
Yeah.
So we'll find that out. Maybe he is. Maybe we'll be wrong. But they have the two-game roster exemption form. So at the latest, he'll be back by Indy. But I think he'll be here for Pittsburgh.
In the worst-case scenario, if Logan Mankins comes out and is ineffective against Pittsburgh's front seven, you put Dan Connolly back in, and, again, you don't miss much of a beat.
Did he look – and I hate trying to read too much into body language in tone and in tenor and the way a guy deals with the media, but how did he appear to you guys today? It looked like – and my first thought was there's a little twinge of regret as to what happened to him and what he went through and the way he handled it, that if he had to do it all over again, that he might have handled things differently. I know both you guys were there, and I just wanted to get your take. Again, I don't want to read too much into it, but again, I got the vibe from him that there was a little bit of regret there.
I think, I'll tell you what I was surprised at most in that press conference was the phrase that he used, "I've been here since April."
That's true.
Most people, I don't think, knew that. Yeah. I think whenever you would read stories about Logan Mankins, it was like, oh, he's holding out. He's farming on his ranch in California.
He's all punching cows.
Well, au contraire.
Cows Valley, yeah.
And I'm sure there were a lot of Patriots fans who were home watching the game on Sunday and were surprised at around 5, 6 o'clock when it got dark and their doorbell rang with trick-or-treaters and Logan Mankins was out there with his kid. I'm sure there were a lot of people who were surprised by that because, you know, so the reason that surprised me was because he said that in his press conference that he went trick-or-treating and didn't watch. This was the only game he didn't watch, was the Minnesota game. The fact that he's been there since April tells me that if he really didn't want to come back here at all, here meaning to the Patriots.
He would have been out in California.
He would have been out in California.
Yeah.
His real home, where he's from.
Yeah.
That tells me that he kind of, in his heart of hearts, wanted to come back here all along, had to take a principled stand. And yes, I do agree that there was a little bit of tacit acknowledgement that maybe he would have done things a little differently, handled a few things a little bit better. And I wouldn't rule out, looking farther ahead, his signing a long-term deal here.
You think he's going to stay?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay. Because they have now a lot of options, even though he is back and he looks now to, you know, he will have accrued the time needed to become a free agent. If the rules stay the same, they have a lot of options with him. They could franchise him.
They
could transition him.
Right.
They could sign him.
They could
leave
him alone.
Deal.
They exactly. could sign him to a long-term deal.
I wonder if there is a handshake agreement there in place saying, look, come on back, sign this. We won't franchise you. We'll negotiate in good faith going forward.
A couple things on that. One, he could look at what just happened with Randy Moss over the last month and say, if I go somewhere else, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, Randy Moss thought going back to Minnesota was going to be just as great as reviving his career in New England. That clearly didn't work out. Obviously, two polar opposites in terms of personality. And I always got, just to go back to an earlier point real quick, I always got the impression that Logan Mankin's stance against the organization was completely out of character just because he is such a down-to-earth guy who really doesn't seem to be a guy who's all about money. So, but then going forward, I guess, the franchise tag, if it is still in play next year, and you know that's going to be a point of contention with the CBA, the franchise tag groups all offensive linemen together. So that's a higher number than you'd really initially think. In 2009, the franchise tag for offensive linemen was $8.5 million, roughly. This season, it was $10.7 million. So next season, you're looking
With Jerry Evans and Mangold.
Yeah,
it's going to be even higher. Yeah.
But not just you look at all the left tackles who were drafted in the top six of the draft. Mm-hmm. These numbers, they're going to reach 12, 13, maybe even $14 million in terms of the average of the top five offensive linemen in the league. That's just money that, almost like Vince Wilfork, they could franchise him and then just dump all that money into his the guaranteed portion of his deal. I mean, if you're going to give a guy $12, $13, $14 million for one season, it's in your best interest to try to spread that out over the course of a 5 or a 6 year deal.
Do you think he gets a Jari Evans type deal? Like a, 7, 8 years, mid-50s? I think he's in that neighborhood, but I don't think he's on the same block. I'll put it that way to paraphrase Mercury Morris. I think he gets something approximating that, even here or out in the open market.
I think he could, depending on which team went after him. Like if it was like a Dallas or a Washington, a team that wasn't afraid to open up the checkbook for an offensive lineman, I think he could get an offer like that from somewhere else. I don't think he'd get that offer from this team.
Yeah.
But he may have changed his mind about whether or not that's the most important thing to him. We don't know for sure. He wouldn't elaborate on his reasons why he came back now instead of 2 weeks from now when his deadline would have been. So who knows? Maybe Jeff's right, and maybe he sees the Moss thing and thinks, you know what? I had it pretty good.
Yeah.
When I was with those guys. And yeah. He talked about how much he's still friends with everybody. He kept in touch with them while he was in his own self-imposed witness protection program that nobody knew he was around here, apparently.
Well, he was dressed up in Halloween costumes.
He was, too, yeah. Well, at least on Sunday. But so, you know, I'm not sure he's going to get that kind of money that he was expecting.
The one of the things that I thought was interesting where he was very pointed in his comments regarding Dan Conley and what the media thought of Dan Conley at the start of the season. You know, I love the idea, and I always go back to this. They always talk about, well, we don't read the papers. We don't know.
Yeah, then how do you know all these things?
Exactly.
That we're
saying. How do you know all these things? He was very pointed in his defense of Dan Conley and said, I thought a lot more of Dan Conley than you guys did at the start of the season. And Conley talked a little bit about it today in the locker room, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I'm always fascinated by the dynamic because these guys are friends and they're acquaintances and they go out to dinner and they go trick-or-treating together and whatnot. But at the same time, they're playing for a job. You know, they're competing for a job. They're competing against one another for a job. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fascinating part of this sport, this business, and just sports in general, you know, the way things go.
I want to just go on a quick tangent.
Okay.
And I hope you guys join me. I want to start a petition drive to bring back the old 85 uniforms for good. I absolutely
full-time?
Love those uniforms.
Full-time?
I am psyched for Thanksgiving Day because they're going to wear them again on Thanksgiving.
See, I think twice a year is enough. I think twice a year.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm sated by having it be a guarantee from now on that we're going to at least see it once or twice
a
year. But
really
I
sharp.
Love those uniforms.
The red is really, really sharp.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
And the logo. I grew up with them. That's the first year I actually watched the full season of Patriots football was this year, the 85 season that they went to the Super Bowl. And it's nostalgic,
yeah,
too.
I'm in the room with some old guys.
Jeez.
Young punk.
Yeah.
He doesn't even remember when Bledsoe was drafted.
Me and my hair gel.
Did you say 85, Jeff?
Yeah, I was born in 83.
Is that hair gel?
So
I'm 85.
Oh, wow. See, I'm even older than him.
You know what I was born
in? You were born in 85? Christ.
November.
Unbelievable.
Just turned 25, or will turn 25 in a couple days.
The one thing I was a little bummed out about was the fact that the Vikings also didn't wear their throwbacks.
Yeah.
I love those old Vikings throwbacks.
I agree.
It's kind of a duller purple.
Yeah.
And they had the sleeves.
The sleeves were almost like New England sleeves with the bars on the shoulder.
That was a
shoulder.
Good one too, man. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. The old Ahmad Rashad, Frank Tarkenton kind of a deal.
Yep. They had Randy Moss. This is a throwback. That's,
yeah. They threw him back, all right.
They threw him back, exactly. Yeah, they threw him back.
Come on, rim shot. Oh, you're too late.
Up on a tee.
So they go forward. We figure we can look at 2 weeks from now. Logan Mankins back at left guard.
Maybe even this Sunday.
Really?
Again,
I think this Sunday?
I you can never say never with Bill Belichick.
That's
you should
true.
Know that by now.
That's a good point. That's
I mean, we
point.
Look at it. We think we've got everything rationally covered, and then all of a sudden he does something that nobody expects.
That's true.
So, I mean, my best guess is no, it won't be this week. It'll be next week against Pittsburgh. But I won't be surprised.
Yeah,
either way.
I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I just think that with the way Dan Connolly was put back in, when he was sat down in the second half of that San Diego game, and I wonder if that was as much of a wake-up call to the rest of the offensive line as it was to Connolly's performance, because I didn't really see...
It was a smooth transition.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't, you know, somebody pointed it out, hey, Wendell's in the game. And
yeah, it's not like Connolly was playing poorly,
right.
not from what I could tell. But again, you know, maybe a wake-up call. But if Wendell was back in the lineup last week and it wasn't Connolly, or if Connolly played poorly last week and then got sat down again, then I could see Logan Mankins maybe being rushed back in there. I just don't think they need to really... to rush this this process.
Boy, we got a replay of the Patriots Vikings game that we're watching here, and this is what initially sparked.
That's what sparked my tangent. Yeah.
In the we just saw the direct snap to Danny Woodhead. Boy, he looked like Kevin Falk.
Yeah.
Boy, he
and that's
like
a Kevin Falk play that we've
Kevin
seen
Falk
a million times.
Right there. That really,
and they always score on it.
Yeah, they really do. I remember working in Super Bowl 38.
Yeah.
And I remember working in the divisional playoff against Jacksonville in January of 2000.
They did it in San Diego.
They did it in San Diego. Yep. That's right. They did in the playoff game.
He is something to
the
watch.
The funniest part about that whole play is Brady's lackadaisical effort. I mean, that's not fooling anybody.
He's trying to sell the fake.
That
exactly.
The ball's going over his head.
Whoa!
It's so nonchalant. But
everyone sucks but me.
Exactly.
Dan Copen has never messed up a snap in his whole life.
I know. And he's going to exaggerate, throwing the arms up in the air like, oh, there goes the ball. It cracks me up. But teams get scored on. Every time they run that play, they get scored on.
It works like a little draw, and he just scoots up the middle. But again, that's part of Kevin Falk's package right there. That really is. That really is. You're listening to Patriots Playbook right here on Patriots.com. You can get in touch with us one of two ways. Send us an email to webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. You can also call us at 508-543-7482. My name is Chris Price. I'm filling in for John Rook. Joining me here in the studio are Jeff Howe from Nesson.com and Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. We've been talking a little bit about the return of Logan Mankins and what that means for the Patriots, what that means for the offensive line, and how it may change going forward. We're probably going to see a lot less of Dan Conley and a lot more of old number 70. We saw him out there today at practice. In 10 minutes or so we saw him, he looked okay. The stretching portion, you know.
Yeah, he's limber enough.
Jumping through hoops, he looked just fine. So.
Still knows how to get loose.
That's right.
I want to ask you guys, and not like this hasn't been in the news the last couple of days, but let's talk a little bit about Randy Moss and the idea that he has to pass through waivers by 4 o'clock today. Patriots get the last crack at him. We've heard from a handful of teams so far about what their intentions would be around him. I guess more often than not, they've said we're going to take a pass.
And real quick, Chris, the reason why Moss at this stage in his career has to go through waivers is because it's convoluted rules the way the league sets it up. But after the trading deadline, a vested veteran, of that being anyone with, accrued seasons, who are unrestricted free agents, and in Moss's case, it's 10 years or more. Moss is in his 13th year.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So before the trade deadline, if he were cut, he's free and clear. He can sign with anybody he wants. After the trade deadline, the rule says you have to pass through waivers, which is why 30 other teams get a crack at him before the Patriots do. Or else, if this had been before the trading deadline, he could choose whoever he wants to sign with. Just want to make that point because that's a weird distinction that they make with the trade deadline, throwing that in there, and that changes everything.
So the fact that he is a veteran, the fact that he has been around
a vested veteran,
that's why he does have to pass through waivers at this time of year.
Well,
as an aside, remember last year when they released Joey Galloway before the trading deadline, so he wouldn't be subject to the waiver process.
Correct. Ended up. Where do you go? Pittsburgh first, and then Washington later on.
Washington this season. He ended up with Pittsburgh for the last 2 weeks of the regular season.
Right.
I'm just reflecting on Joey Galloway.
He's like their number one receiver too, isn't he? In Washington,
he was. Yeah,
or he was for a while anyway.
Reflecting on the Joey Galloway experience.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah,
that was. Oh, but anyway, where do you think Moss is going to go, and why? Real simple question, real easy question. Do you think he's going to pass through waivers? I should say that. Do you think he's going to complete the waiver process, or do you think someone is going to snatch him up? I have a handful of teams that I think might be interested in him for a variety of reasons, including Washington, because he wants to go somewhere where he ostensibly has a chance to win something. Now, Washington isn't all that great, but at the same time, they have an owner who's just crazy enough to pay him boatloads of money. And based on Washington's team-building experience, or lack of team-building experience with the ownership that they have in place down there, I would just, on the surface, that seems to be...
And you got a guy like Mike Shanahan. Like Mike Shanahan who would be cocky enough or confident enough in his own coaching ability to think that he could rein in Randy Moss. Donovan McNabb, obviously a guy that a lot of wide receivers like playing with. So Washington's a possibility. I actually ranked all 32 teams from 1 to 32, including Minnesota, by the way, as to where Randy Moss could end up.
Give a plug.
On Nesson.com. Yeah, Nesson.com. Go to Nesson.com for that.
All right.
I could be talked into either way. I really have no idea what to think. I've had friends asking me. Again, I put my palms up in the air. I just have no idea where he's going to end up. I don't know if 10 teams are going to claim him. I don't know if nobody's going to claim him. It doesn't make any sense in the world for the Patriots to put a claim in on him because they're last in terms of priority.
Mm-hmm.
And if he passes all the way through, he's probably going to beg to come back to New England anyway. Yeah. So,
and then if he passes all the way through and no one claims him, the Vikings are on the hook for that money this year.
Exactly. He actually is better off financially if he passes through waivers and then gets picked up by somebody.
It's almost like
because
he gets
a $500,000 more, basically. He gets a $500,000 more.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. And I think that there, we may not be able to get it down to the specific teams, and we can throw the guesses out there, but it's going to come down to two types of teams. One is going to be a team that is desperate to sell some tickets. You look at Dallas and Jerry Jones, who first is trying to win back his fan base. Second is just trying to do something to that locker room to shake it up.
Although I guess they said Dallas came out today and said that they have no interest.
Well,
they have no interest now.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
We have an hour and 20 minutes before we find out if they do or not. But my thinking is just to harken back to Mankins a little bit. We talked about the tacit regret that we may have seen from him. We saw more than tacit regret from Moss after the Patriots game on Sunday.
Yeah.
He essentially came out and said, "My bad. I love you guys.
I am
so sorry." It's like he cheated on his wife, the Patriots, left for the girlfriend, and then realized his girlfriend is a wreck. I need to go back to my wife. That's essentially what we saw happen after the game on Sunday. And if I'm these other 30 teams in the league, you have to look at it like it's 30 other potential girlfriends. They're going to look and say, he's really in love with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
He wants to go there.
Yeah.
So the only reason, if I'm a team, GM, coach, whatever, and I decide to put a waiver claim in on Moss, it's because I see that the Patriots are 6-1 and I don't want to help them.
So I'm an AFC East team, primarily.
Not necessarily. Yeah. I could be the Colts. I could be
That's
the Steelers.
Just, okay, yeah.
I could be the Ravens.
Or an
I could
AFC
be,
rival.
It could be an AFC rival or even an NFC rival. Who is looking down the road and thinking, you know, maybe it's the Giants, and they're thinking maybe we could get back to the Super Bowl, and we don't want Moss to be on the field again. And he might just be crazy enough to say, you know what, I really do love the Patriots, I don't want to play for you, which is a big risk because then he's not going to get paid at all by anybody.
Well, then he could get that 5-day letter from the team if he fails to report,
yep.
And then he gets on that, I forget the name of the list that he would be put on. But depending on how the new CBA shakes out next year, and this is obviously a giant wild card, he could end up being stuck with that team again next year,
yeah.
And they could hold his rights almost like, I mean, in a loose
in
comparison,
perpetuity.
A restricted free agent.
Right.
Yeah, and so he would completely screw himself over if he failed to report to whatever team claims him.
Right. So that's why I think it's somewhat possible for him to pass through waivers, because he put his heart out on his sleeve the other day. And the other teams in the league know this. So the only thing I could think of was that you might have a Shanahan type who's thinking, I can change him. I'll get him to play for me.
Or a Jeff Fisher.
Or a Jeff Fisher, somebody, whoever.
They
you
just
know.
Lost Kenny Britt for a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, San Diego, North Turner could say, hey, you know Vincent Jackson's coming back eventually, but you can't lose one or two more games in the meantime.
Right.
But then you look at, along with the Dallas thing, you look at Buffalo and Jacksonville. Buffalo tried it with Terrell Owens last year. Granted, it didn't work, but they need to sell some tickets. Jacksonville needs another face to its franchise, at least to sell some tickets, get their games on TV, so they don't fit. I mean, talk about moving them to L.A. They might be in L.A. before the end of the season. That's just two types of teams, and then the other team is the team that, like the Jacksonville, Tennessee, Washington, that needs that extra piece and is willing to take that chance. Maybe they realize they don't have a Super Bowl-caliber team. They've got a good team, a playoff team, but if they take that gamble on Randy Moss, if it hurts them, it hurts them. But if it helps them, they know that they can go to a different level of an offense.
See, I think he wants to go to a team that's relatively competitive. And I don't think that's priority one for him.
It's not his choice, though,
at this point. Exactly. But I think he wants to go to a team where he has at least a half-decent shot of winning. I don't think he's going to go to the Bills or the 49ers or something like that. Again, I don't think that's his first priority, but at the same time,
claim him.
Yeah, it's true. He's over a barrel.
Yeah.
At this point.
The one scenario that I find hilarious, and it's never going to happen, but if the Bengals claim him, Marvin Lewis,
Tio, Ocho Cinco and Moss on one team.
Marvin Lewis might just quit right there and just go on a rampage
that's
through
it.
The stadium. Yeah, he would be done.
I'm
wash
out.
His hands. See you later. Taking my truck and I'm going home.
Oh God.
So where do we think he's? Where do you guys think he's going to end up? Where do you? I mean, if you're taking odds, give me three teams right now. as to where you think he would end up. It, and you could say part of it is, you know, his decision, and part of it is, you know, just where he's forced to go or whoever claims him or whatever. But where do you think he's going to end up?
Where do I think? The way this season has gone for this team, I wouldn't be shocked if he was back in New England by the end of the week. I don't think that's high. I don't think there's a high probability of that, but I'm not excluding it. I think teams like maybe Seattle, Miami are more likely. Your Chargers one's an interesting one. But, yeah, I think it would more likely be an AFC team.
Yeah, if I had to give you three teams, based on the waiver priority and the reasons I just said, I would go with Buffalo, and then I would also throw Tennessee and San Diego out there. You know, you mentioned Indy. That wouldn't work. Peyton Manning wouldn't stand for it. And that offense is only as effective as the guys who are on the same page with Peyton Manning. He would be a disaster in Indianapolis or in New Orleans, too, for that matter, for similar reasons. But, yeah, I mean, if I had to guess three teams, San Diego, Tennessee, Buffalo.
Did you guys see on his website he asked people where he thought, where they'd like to see him play?
Well, it's on his website. Yeah. I'm not sure he's the one that actually put that up there.
Well, no, but it was interesting, though, last night.
And chose those teams.
Because on his Twitter feed,
his
rarely used Twitter feed, all of a sudden it pops up about 11 o'clock.
You're on Twitter, Chris?
I am on Twitter. I don't know if you guys knew this. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Cape Leaguer, at Cape Leaguer at Twitter. So, but I subscribe to Rainy Moss's Twitter feed, and it's a rarely used Twitter feed, but it popped up last night at 11 o'clock with a link to
not
his
as
site.
As mine.
Do you have a...
No, I don't. Nope.
Anyway, it popped up last night, and there was the link to the page, and it said, wherever, you know, where would you like to see me play?
Mm.
Where do you want to see me
play? And
he
put which teams?
It was Tennessee, Seattle,
and Miami, right?
And one other team that I forget right now.
Was it the Jets?
I don't think it was the Jets.
Kevin, can you look up therealrandymoss.com?
Therealrandymoss.com. Mm-hmm. But it's on a site. You can go to a site. You can weigh in. I think there's a forum there. I don't think there's a poll.
Got to do it quick.
Exactly. You know,
we're going to know in an hour where he goes.
Hour and 15 right now. You are listening to Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price. You can reach us one of two ways. You can get in touch with us at email, via email at webradio@patriots.com. Or you can give us a call at 508-543-7482. That number is 508-543-7482. We're talking a little bit about the Patriots and where they are and what they look like now with Logan Mankins as opposed to Dan Conley at left guard. We're also talking about Randy Moss and where we think Randy Moss is going to end up, whether or not Moss could even end up back in New England. What number would he have? What locker would he have, you think?
He'd get 81 back.
He'd get 81 back,
yeah. He could get 81 back.
And he'd probably get the locker between Gostkowski and Edelman.
Same neighborhood?
Mm. Same neighborhood, yeah.
That'd make good sense.
I went on the website here real quick. They have a little poll. And...
Oh, actually, no. Crompton has that locker now.
Oh,
so I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, anyway, it just said it says where will Randy play next? Miami has 40% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams have 45, and Seattle has
St. Louis. That was the other team.
St. Louis.
Not
Tennessee.
So
right?
Those were the tallies.
And Brandon Marshall was very vocal, I guess, about wanting to get the chance to play with Randy Moss. He was talking about that the other day. The idea of Marshall and Moss on the same team.
And Devon Bess.
Whew.
The St. Louis element is an interesting one to me just because they obviously need a lot of help at wide receiver with the amount of injuries that they've had. I mean, it's been just a constant stream of injuries for their wide receivers this season. Mm. But they're 4-4, which means they've got as great of a shot as anybody to win that division.
Yeah,
I mean, they might only really need three
more wins.
They might
only need three or four more wins. Yeah, exactly.
But on the other side of it, you've got a young head coach, Steve Spagnuolo's in his second year. You've got Sam Bradford, obviously the number one pick, and is having a tremendous rookie season. Why would you bring in a guy like Randy Moss to spoil what has been, you know, developing there for the last 4 or 5 months, including summer camps? I mean, Randy Moss's talent would undoubtedly help that receiving core, which has been so depleted. I mean, Danny Amendola is like their best wide receiver right now. Mm. Nice little player, but I mean, come on now. It's just, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me if they put in a claim on him and were willing to take that chance to bring Moss into that young locker room.
I don't know. I could see it.
St. Louis?
I could see St. Louis, if only for the reason of they need, not that they need a reason to sell tickets. They got the number one pick and they're actually winning some games, but it would add more enthusiasm in the city. It would give Bradford some sort of security blanket in a year when he hasn't had one. He's had, like you said, nice little player, Danny Amendola, but, you know, not a Pro Bowler. Not a perennial Pro Bowler anyway, but I could see it happening. I could see St. Louis.
You're also taking a chance with, I mean, you saw what happened. Brad Childress was on the hot seat a month ago, and who knows if he'll make it through the rest of this season.
Make it through the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. And seriously on that one. But, and the Vikings have a lot of different bigger personalities, bigger names, bigger stars. But if Randy Moss goes into that young Rams locker room and has some kind of point of contention with Steve Spagnuolo, who looks like he's turning out to be a pretty good coach. I mean, you know, he was a heck of a defensive coordinator.
Doesn't like the spread, you know.
Yeah.
Cursed out the caterer.
But if those two guys bump heads.
Oh, that spread.
Yeah. Those two guys. I see what you did there. Those two guys bump heads.
Everybody gets off. We're going to grab them and have a party.
If those two guys bump heads and players start siding with Randy Moss, even if it's only for an 8-game rental, how are those players going to look at Spagnuolo next season when these guys should all be growing and progressing together?
Well, my point is maybe it's not an 8-game rental. Maybe they're looking at it like, okay, this guy said a month or so ago he wanted a big contract at the end of the season. We've got a rookie quarterback. We can give it to him. We've got the money, and hey, why not? We've got a quarterback who needs a star receiver, guy at the end of his career. Maybe that's how they're looking at it. That's why I could see it.
That has disaster written all over it.
Potentially,
Sam Bradford. I like Bradford. Potentially. But
if they give Moss the kind of money that he's looking for.
Well, that's true.
Who knows?
Want to wrap up the hour with you guys. We have about another 10 minutes or so. Want to get your thoughts on Cleveland and what jumps out at you about this Cleveland team. And is this a trap game for the Patriots, a potential trap game for the Patriots? This is a young team that that's faced a number of tests. I'm talking about the Patriots this year. This is a relatively young team that's faced a number of very interesting tests this year, and I think this might be another one in the sense where this is a potential trap game, and there's the possibility that such a young team could overlook a relatively young and untested team like the Cleveland Browns.
We've learned a lot about the Patriots' mental toughness in the second half of some tough games so far this year, but you're going to learn even more this week. If they come out and said it before, they're not going to blow maybe anybody out the rest of the season. That doesn't mean their wins won't be impressive. If they win this game by 10 to 14 points, I'd be very impressed with this victory. Cleveland, like you said, a very dangerous team. One thing that sticks out, well, obviously that first thing is the win that they had against New Orleans. That's as impressive as it gets.
Yeah.
Maybe I think there were more things going on in New Orleans than there were positives going on with Cleveland. Either way, three of Cleveland's losses this season have been by one possession. I think one was a 2-point and another was a 3-point loss. Maybe it was 3-4. Either way, they're playing close games. Belichick said today, and I haven't had the chance to look it up. I mean, I don't know why I'd be lying about it, but he said Colt McCoy is completing 70% of his passes so far. That, it sounds like, I mean, 12 hours ago, it sounded like Seneca Wallace was getting the start. Now it sounds like it's going to be Colt McCoy.
I think he was saying 70% of the passes in the last two games.
Okay.
I think it was against
Pittsburgh. Those are his two starts.
Yeah, the two. That's right, the two starts against
Pittsburgh and New Orleans.
That's right. So, yeah.
Yeah, and a young team. You saw how they fought last year. They won those last four games of the regular season. Created some momentum for this season. Completely saved Mangini's job. Josh Cribbs is a game-changing player on offense and special teams. So there are some things to like about the Cleveland operation right now. Not as good as what the Patriots have going, but if the Patriots don't take them seriously, I like the way that Belichick has the handle of this locker room right now. I think it's really admirable. The way that they've bought in like they have in years past, unlike last year when you were unsure of what was going on in there. Love what is going on inside that locker room right now. And if they come out and handle Cleveland, it's just another reason to be sold on this team.
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with all that. I'd rather take my chances against Colt McCoy than against Seneca Wallace, who the last time he faced New England nearly beat him in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Probably should have won that game, actually, if it weren't for the Brandon Merriweather strip sack at the end of that game. Seneca Wallace might have been the hero. Wallace is the veteran. He's mobile. He can throw a decent pass. I know McCoy's had some success against two good teams here already, but I'd rather take my chances if I'm Bill Belichick against a rookie. I think, you know, Belichick wins that match more often than not.
Yeah.
So I'd rather see that. The other thing that stands out to me about this Browns team is it looks a lot like an old New England team.
It does.
You got Benjamin Watson leading the team in receptions. You've got Ray Ventrone playing some safety back there. They picked up Thomas Clayton, again, who's been on this team 5-6 times already this year. there are a couple of other players. Phil Dawson going back in the day is a former Patriot even. Kicker from back in the day.
Brian Cox is a defensive line coach there.
That's right. So, yeah, there's a lot of connection. Mangini, of course, Brad Seeley, the special teams coach. So there's a lot of familiarity. That's why I asked Bill today why, you know, if it's any easier to prepare for a team that's coached by coaches that were on your staff. He seemed to, you know, refute that a little bit, thinking that it's a completely different team, even from the Jets team that Mangini used to coach. So maybe it's overrated. I don't know, but to me, familiarity breeds contempt, and I'm looking very forward to this game because I think Jeff's right. It's going to be a tougher game than most people earlier in the season may have thought.
Biggest key for the Patriots, I think, really is getting out quick in not letting the Browns even smell.
Get
a
confident
chance of,
at all.
Yeah, exactly. I think with games like this, especially against a young team, and when you have a relatively young team, I think momentum early plays a big key, and I think what the Patriots want to do is get out on them very quickly, establish a 10-14-point lead, and just let Ben Jarvis Green Ellis do what he did last week, just bleed out that clock.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. I agree about Seneca Wallace. By the way, as an aside, Seneca Wallace is one of the great video game quarterbacks of all time, both in college and in Madden. But I've always liked Seneca Wallace, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I see the Seahawks play every week. I mean, I've only seen him play a handful of games, including that 08 game. Always really been impressed by the way he's handled his business. I've always thought that he deserved more of a shot to be a starting quarterback in this league than he's gotten. Again, I mean, it comes with limited knowledge. How often do you see Seattle? Now he's gotten that chance in Cleveland. It's been marred by injuries a little bit. One other thing that you definitely can't overlook is Cleveland's coming off that bye week. They're 2-5. A 2-5 team, Mangini is looking at this Patriots game like his Super Bowl. He busted out every single play, reached into the bottom of the playbook for that Saints game. You know he's going to be doing it for this one. He's going to have that team amped up and ready to play with the extra bye week or the extra week of preparation for this game. This is not, it's not an overly talented team. Say what you will about Mangini's coaching ability. He failed in New York to a large extent and still hasn't really gotten it completely together in Cleveland. But he is going to have this team ready to play this weekend.
No doubt. No doubt. And every game on the remainder of the schedule is going to come down to the fourth quarter, the final drive, perhaps even the final play on either side of the ball. Whoever has the ball last in most of the Patriots games is the team that's going to win every game the rest of the schedule. The Bills game included at the end of the year, I think, because the Bills fight people tough every week. And everything Jeff said about Mangini getting this team ready and having 2 weeks to do it is absolutely accurate. I expect a dogfight in the new dog pound.
We're going into a very nice, very nicely
done.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
We're going into a very interesting stretch of this schedule, and I think this game kicks off a very interesting stretch of the schedule because that you're followed up with a road game in Pittsburgh, a Sunday night game in Pittsburgh.
The only two back-to-back games this year.
On the road.
Yeah.
Back-to-back road games.
And there are no back-to-back home games, so it's the only time this year that the Patriots are back-to-back.
Bill the other day referred it to, I think they're making their tour of the Rust Belt.
Yes,
going from
exactly.
Cleveland to Pittsburgh. And then, of course, the following
Detroit,
Sunday.
Indianapolis.
It's Indy and then Detroit, a very young and very improving Detroit team.
They're a tough team, too.
They really are.
They play hard on Thanksgiving.
And then that Jets team on Monday night, December 6th. So
they're fortunate that's a home game.
Yeah, the next five games. And, you know, you talk about the rest of the schedule later in the year. You know, you end up at Chicago, home against Green Bay, at Buffalo, and then home against Miami. But these next five games,
right,
I think will go a long way toward telling us how good this Patriots
and
team is.
And they're going to need it, too, because, again, they could get a third bye if they get the one or two seed in the playoffs.
Yep.
If they continue on this road and only lose one or two more games, then those rookies and young players will have yet another week to rest, recoup, and get ready for the stretch of the – I mean, this season is absolutely working out perfectly for New England.
Even with all of the other things that have gone wrong,
everything has fallen into place.
That have taken place when it comes
to
on-field
performance. And I would have thought a month ago going to Miami, I would have never expected any of this.
Yeah. And you really, I mean, you know, in hindsight, you can look back and you could say, you know what, it was one bad second half against the Jets that really prevented them from being 7-0, and that's an amazing thought.
Mm-hmm.
this team is that close to being undefeated.
Mm-hmm. There's a ton of validity, if I can get that word out, to that point that you made. But on the other side of it,
they've had their share of success.
But that's what it comes down to in the NFL. You need the bounces to come either way. 6-1. I don't think they're scoffing at that one right now. But you look at the best record in football, and if they are looking at a bye, and I guess if you're in November and you've got the best record in football, you can bring up that topic. However, there are 5 teams in the AFC that have 2 losses.
Mm-hmm.
So if they slip up at all,
there's no margin for error. Right. There's no margin for error.
If they come out and lose back-to-back games to the Steelers and Colts.
Right. It changes really the complete dynamic.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all, but you could all of a sudden be in sixth or seventh in the AFC playoff picture. So again, like you said, there's no room for error. The other thing about the rookies, these guys are being counted on to help them win games. If Devin McCourty or the tight ends or any of these other or spikes fall off at the end of the season, even if the competition kind of settles down a little bit, aside from that Green Bay game in week 15, I mean, if these guys struggle, they're probably not going to be able to win the close games that they've been winning so far. So they're going to be counted on to help them later in the season when a lot of rookies do kind of hit that wall.
It's been great having you guys here. It's been great talking football with you guys. This is I just imagine this is what we do in the media workroom, and we just brought it down the hallway.
And you increased your voice decibel level.
Exactly, at least 15 levels.
And 2 octaves.
So, very nice, very nice. Well, very well done.
Well, you were lucky because this time you were able to shut my microphone off at the beginning so you didn't have
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So, thanks for showing up, guys. Eric Scalavino from Patriot Football Weekly.
No problem.
And Jeff Howe from Nesson.com. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook. We are going to take a short break and be back right after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
I like this little Steve Miller. Taking us into the second hour here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook. Just had a great hour talking with Eric Scalamino of Patriots Football Weekly and Jeff Howe of Nesson.com. The second hour, we're going to hit on a few different topics. First of all, if you want to get in touch with us, give us a call at 508-543-7482. That number again is 508-543-7482. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We're going to get to some of those emails very shortly. But first, we want to play the audio of the Logan Mankins press conference from earlier today. Mankins made his return to Foxborough, the left guard, the Pro Bowl left guard, two-time Pro Bowl left guard for that matter, had been holding out. He'd really stayed away from training camp, stayed away from spring practices, spring workouts, as well as mini camps, as well as the first 8 weeks of the regular season, the preseason and the regular season as well. But he made his return today. He apparently signed his tender, which is worth roughly $1.54 million, and he is back in town. He met the media for the first time this afternoon, and here's what he had to say.
No, just a little Fu Manchu.
Can you walk us through how this came back?
It was just time. I had my reasons for the date that I came back, but I'm not going to explain them to everyone, so.
What have you been doing?
Hanging out, playing a lot of golf, hanging out with my family a lot, so it was a good time to spend a lot of time with them.
How have you been training to stay in shape?
I've been training quite a bit, so we'll see today how it goes, see how good a shape I'm in.
What kind of football-related things do you do when you're not with us?
Well, I played football a long time, and I've been through a lot of off-seasons, so I took this off-season like I take every other one, and I did all the things that I've been taught through the years, and I didn't hit anyone or do anything like that, so that'll all be new to it today.
Then, what were your emotions when you walked through the door for the first time?
Oh, it was good. I'm happy to be back. I got a lot of friends here, a lot of guys I have a lot of respect for and love playing with, so it was good to see everyone again, and when I let a bunch of guys know the day before, everyone was pretty happy I was coming back, so I knew I had a lot of support here.
Were your expectations for how you're going to do it?
Oh yeah, anxious, nervous, a little bit of everything, so you haven't done it in a while, and everyone else has been doing it a few months, so I'm sure I'm behind, and I got a long ways to go to catch up.
Logan, how tough has it been for you to balance, obviously, a business principle that you believe in personally versus your love for the game and wanting to be here?
Yeah, it was tough, but, you know, I don't really think about that stuff a lot, I guess. I do a little bit, but, you know, once you get in the routine of doing other things, it kind of makes it a little easier. But I love football, and I wanted to be out there playing, but we had some other things going on, so. But now I'm back and I'm ready to go.
Logan, do you see yourself playing here long term after this season?
I'm not commenting on the past or the future. Right now, I'm here to help the team, help them get ready for Cleveland. So that's what I'm looking at right now.
What are your expectations for how quickly you'll be involved?
No expectations at this moment. Taking it day by day, and we'll see how everything happens day by day.
Seven games, was it all productive for you, staying away?
I don't know, we'll find out.
I mean, did you get what you wanted from
What I wanted from it? Not at the moment.
You sense it might be having an angry with management. Are you here for this present now that it's settled, forgotten about, and just to get a guy to our help?
Yeah, I've talked to everyone here, and we're all on the same page right now, so I don't see that there should be any problems right now. Yeah, I watched all the games except for the last one. I was busy trick-or-treating with my kids, so I missed that one. And I wasn't going to watch it on TiVo because I already knew who won, so.
What have you thought of the way the offensive line and Connelly have played?
They played great. They've had a lot of good games. I know one thing. I had a lot more faith in Dan Connelly than you guys did before the season started, so Dan's a great friend of mine, and he's done a great job, and it was fun watching him play and get the opportunity to play to prove everyone that he could do it.
Logan, when you watch the games this year, how much did you miss it?
Oh, yeah, you miss it. It's a game. It's fun. That's why we play it, and you always miss something that you enjoy doing.
Do you ever regret taking the stand that you did and having to miss those games?
Maybe. Not right now, but maybe down the road I'll look back and wish I didn't, or maybe I'll be happy I did. I don't know. We'll find out, though.
What did you miss the most?
The most? Being with the guys, playing football. It's pretty special to play football. You become really good friends with all those guys, and anytime you line up with someone and you see all the work they put in and then you put in together and you go out there and do it together, that's a pretty special. So I miss doing that with these guys because I'm close with all these guys. We're all friends. Like everyone thought I was in California, I've been here since April. I've seen the guys all the time. We've played golf together, went out together, ate together. So that was the hardest part, being away from guys that I truly truly like and like to be around.
So you were local the whole time? You weren't out west?
Yeah.
Tom was saying how much you guys talk. Was his advice helpful or his guidance in any way?
Yeah, Tom's he's a great guy, and he looks at things and really thinks about it. And when you talk to Tom and you're getting advice from Tom, you always know it's good advice because he's really thinking about what he's saying. He's just not telling you something to say. He's actually putting thought into it.
Could have came back 3 weeks from now, basically been in the same situation, I guess, pay-wise. Why now?
That's what I said earlier. I'm not going to get into why I came back now, but I'm not looking at it as if I'm early. Actually, I'm eight weeks late, so I'm not early.
Do you give people encouragement from inside here maybe to come back now? Or is it your...
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it. That was it was just something that I felt was the time to come back.
Do you feel at all as if the amount of money you're going to play for now in relation to what was reported to be on the table for you? That wide disparity, or was it all principle the whole time? Was it principle or money?
I'm not too worried about that right now. After the season is when that'll come up, and if you guys want to talk about money after the season, if you could find me, I'll talk about it.
If you could find me. I love that last final line, if you could find me. Interesting stuff from Patriots Pro Bowl left guard Logan Mankins, who met the media for the first time today after signing his tender. He is back in camp. He is back practicing with the team, wearing his usual number 70. He's got his old locker back. Everything is back to normal for the Patriots and their offensive line. I think it's going to be interesting to see how soon he can come back. He talked a little bit about it during his press conference. Said there are no expectations. He is day-to-day at this point. Bill Belichick reiterated the same thing when he met with the media, actually in a conference call yesterday. So it's going to be interesting to see what Mankins can bring to the table going forward. Do you think he should unseat Dan Connelly? What do you think about the job that Dan Connelly has done at that position over the first seven games of the season, over the first 8 weeks of the 2010 season? I think he's done pretty well. Other people out there? Yeah, I think not so much. Give us a call. Number is 508-543-7482. That number again, 508-543-7482. You can also shoot us an email, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We've been talking about Logan Mankins. We've also been talking about Randy Moss. The deadline, actually, he passes through waivers at 4 o'clock today. The Patriots are the last team that has a chance to get in touch with him. That's because of the waiver process. It goes from the worst team in the NFL by record to the best team in the NFL. The Patriots would be the 32nd team overall in that process. Let's take some emails. Let's get to some emails. First of all, this is from John Howard. This is something we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show when Eric Scalavino and Jeff Howe were in here. Hey, guys, and Eric, please stop trying to find fault in Brady. I will take this year's Brady over the 2007 Brady any day of the week. You want to look at stats? How about 6 in the league in passer rating? 6 in touchdowns, 6 in completion percentage. Not to mention Moss was not exactly tearing it up when he was here in Brady's main target, coming off a huge knee injury. That's from John Howard. Oh, by the way, we got a little more on him. You know, position Brady finished when he last won the Super Bowl 6. He averaged 230 yards a game that year. No, he's not having any 300-plus yard games. Go talk to Drew Brees. He has big numbers, including 16 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, and 11 interceptions. I'm fine with the job Brady is doing. Falk, the fantasy numbers. That's F-A-U-L-K, the fantasy numbers. Once again, that's from John Howard. We just heard from Logan Mankins. We're going to get into a little bit of the Tom Brady audio. He met the media again as well today for about 6 or so minutes. Down in the media workroom, talked about welcoming Logan Mankins back, talked about Randy Moss, and talked about what it means to go against the Cleveland defense. He's very interested in it, very excited about the possibility. First of all, let me shoot you an email again. It's webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number, 508-543-7482. If we got that Brady audio queued up, 1 second. All right. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. My name is Chris Price. I'm filling in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook. I'm here until 4 o'clock. We got the Brady audio up now. We are ready to roll. Here is Tom Brady from earlier today in the Patriots media workroom.
Jordan Sweets, guys, get to Logan.
No disrespect to Dan Conley, but what does it mean to have a guy like Logan back?
That's great. That's great. He's such a great guy. He's a great player. He's coming in with a great attitude, so... I've had a chance to talk to him a little bit over the last few months, and he's been a great contributor to this team and this organization, and can never have too many great football players that are great teammates, so it's great to have him back. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. I hope fast.
Describe how it unfolded today, just with the players coming back and him being here for the first time with all the players. Does Bill Belichick address it and say Logan's back, and what was sure. Your response?
Well, everyone's excited to have him back. I think they he's friends with all of us, so as I said, over the course of the last few months, there's been plenty of interaction with the players, so everyone kind of knew he was coming in today and just excited to see him and greet him and welcome him back. And he's excited to get out there on the field and start playing football. It's what he loves to do.
Tom, in reality, how easy is it to separate the business part of the game from the game on the field?
As you get older, it's probably a little easier than when you're younger, when you're going through it the first time. I know for me, it was pretty tough early on. But then as you see different things happen and players come and go, and coaches come and go. It's just kind of the way it is. So I think from each individual standpoint, you just focusing on your job, what you need to do, how you can contribute, how you can be a leader, how you can bring energy to the team, and then let everything else take care of itself. So you just worry about what you have to do. And if you don't, you're the one that's going to be out of a job.
Tom, what are your thoughts on everything that's gone on with Randy Moss since the game?
I have no idea. I have thoughts. I just don't really care to share them. So,
as you mentioned earlier about having talked with Logan, you know, periodically over the past few months.
Yeah.
Football related, personal, can you divulge anything like that?
Sure, probably both. Obviously, his well-being and his mindset and. I think I just, you just always try to express support and you understand what he's going through, the tough decisions that are made, but also maybe some different perspective from a player that's been through it. So, like I said, I've been around for a while now, so longer than most everybody in this locker room. So I think I just try to share maybe a little bit of insight and maybe it can create some awareness for them.
Tom, is there any more emotion, or is it any different when you're going up against someone who worked under Bill, you know, an Eric Mangini, let's say, or Romeo Crennelsi? Do you feel any different? Do you sense Bill feels any different as you go into a group like this?
Well, I think you have more familiarity, no question about that, into their attitude, to their style. Rob Ryan, he's been here. I know him very well, and I know his style, and Eric and what he's done over the years to try to stop us as an offense. So then you identify the style that they're playing with now, and you kind of assess how you think they're going to play us. And that's what we're going to go out and practice. So even though we haven't played them in a while, I think we're pretty familiar with what they do. But we're a little bit behind them in terms of preparation that they had the off week, and I'm sure they've been working on us. And they had a big win in New Orleans. It's a very tough place to play, and I'm sure they have a lot of confidence, you know, playing us at home. So we've got a different challenge than we had last week, and it's a very different style of defense. And they've got some real strengths to this defense. We got to find ways to avoid those playing into their strengths. You guys got to figure that out. We can't go out and tell you. We've got an idea of what we think they're going to do to stop us. And I mean, they're a real good team. They got a good scheme. They got tough players, guys that fit the scheme really well. When they get things going, they're really tough. And we got to find ways to counter that.
Sort of going back on Randy just for a second. You guys were close.
Let's talk about Randy.
Let's talk about Randy. Do you ever have concern about him as a guy, not as a football player, but, you know, or is it his own deal? I mean, he couldn't have anticipated being without a team. He left the field on Sunday within 2 days.
Well, I don't know. I mean, those are all things he can answer, Tom. I mean, honestly, he speaks for himself, and he's just a great friend of mine. I know the relationship that I have with him, and you know, it goes beyond football. And I guess that's all I have to say.
Welcome him back. This is a question.
I mean, that's what I welcome him back. I mean, that's, you got to ask Coach Belichick. I don't make the decisions around here. If I did, Lawyer Malone would still be here, and Dion would never would have left, and. So whatever I want doesn't happen anyway. So I just try to keep my mouth shut now.
A real final question
for you. No, it's sort of like that. It just seems almost like a throwback Patriots series. Despite your record, you're sort of under the radar. Would you prefer this way instead of the Patriots that are like the headliners?
Well, I mean, I'd prefer us to be playing a lot better than we're playing. I'd say that. Maybe we'd get more attention if we were playing more consistently as an offense and scoring more points and being more effective on third down in the red area. And I think we've got to find ways to play better football as a team. I mean, our record is what it is, and I don't think that's going to do anything at the end of the day. I don't think our goal is to win 6 games this year. And certainly we've won a lot more games than around here. And I think what we're trying to do is make improvements. And, I mean, I'm not, you know, in a great mood and come in here every day. I mean, I think there's plenty of things that we have to do to get to work, and you try to keep the pressure on the younger players, and hopefully that leads to better execution, pressure on the older players too, and we've all got to play better. So it's going to be a good week for us, and get a guy like Logan back to add what he can bring to our team in terms of his toughness and dependability. You know, we've all got to play more consistent, more dependable. Thank you.
Tom Brady talking about a variety of topics. Logan Mankins, how this team kind of touches on the fact that this team kind of looks a little bit like some of the teams in the earlier part of the decade that the Patriots have had. Plus, talked a little bit about Randy Moss and Randy Moss's situation. We've been talking a little bit about that here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook. If you want to give us a call, the number is 508-543-7482. That number again is 508-543-7482. Or you can send us an email to webradio@patriots.com. That number again, or that address again, is webradio@patriots.com. One of the things that has been very, very interesting, a lot of people have been talking about this up here over the last couple of days, obviously, is the Randy Moss situation, particularly where Randy Moss could end up. I talked a little bit about that with Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, as well as Jeff Howe from Nesson.com. And one of the places that was put out there with the Jets, apparently earlier today, WFAN Radio in New York had a report that Randy Moss had met with some Jets players in New Jersey, not at the facility, not with any members of Jets management, but some of the Jets players. Now the word comes out from various media outlets in New York that the Jets have not put a claim in on Randy Moss or Sean Merriman, both players who are on the waiver wire today, or scheduled at the waiver wire. This is, I'm reading now from Pro Football Talk. The Jets want to make sure everyone knows that they did not put a waiver claim in for wide receiver Randy Moss. Reports from the New York Daily News, Newark Star Ledger, and ESPNNewYork.com all say via team sources that the Jets didn't put a claim in on Moss or Sean Merriman. A team spokesman also denied that there was any contact with Moss Wednesday, despite a local radio report to the contrary. That was the WFAN report I referenced a little bit earlier. There has been no contact with Moss or his agent, the spokesman told Gary Myers of the New York Daily News. Zero. The Ravens, Browns, Cowboys, and Seahawks are among the teams that have put out word that they would not claim Moss. It won't be long until we find out who is telling the truth and who actually does want Moss on their team at their current salary. Bill Belichick, when asked about it earlier today, said he would not talk about any players that were on the waiver wire. They were actually trying to basically bait him into saying something, and he said, no, you know, different day, same bait, doesn't work so much. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens come 4 o'clock with a former Vikings and former Patriots wide receiver, where he ends up. Is he going to pass through waivers? Will he sign somewhere else, or will someone claim him? If that happens between now and 4 o'clock, we will make sure to get that out there to you. But in the meantime, give us a call, 508-543-7482. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. That address again is webradio@patriots.com. Want to read one email now. You can get it to come up here. There we go. This subject line here is Moss, where could he go? This is Rich from Howell. If Randy is picked up by someone, he could show up and perform. Two, get cut. Or three, end up in New England. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Once again, that's Rich from Howell, or whatever. I'm not sure what. Could end up, show up and not perform, get cut, or end up in New England. It's going to be interesting to see if we do see Randy Moss back here in New England. That's been talked about an awful lot. Or if he ends up going to another AFC East team. The Jets have talked about that, the fact that there's no waiver claim that has been put on Moss. But maybe he ends up in Miami. I know Brandon Marshall with the Dolphins has been a real advocate to get Moss down to South Beach. And wouldn't that be interesting if he ended up down there? He ended up coming back up to New England another time this year with the Dolphins. I believe the Dolphins have the January 2nd game. Let me check the schedule here. It is the January 2nd game. The Patriots host the Dolphins here at Gillette Stadium. So the idea of seeing Moss back in Foxborough for one more time wouldn't be completely out of the question. We're going to take a real quick break here. We're going to come back right after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
We're back here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook. Thanks for listening here on Patriots.com. Earlier this hour, earlier last hour, we were joined by Eric Scalavino of Patriots Football Weekly and Jeff Howe of Nessim.com. We got into the Randy Moss stuff. We got into the return of Logan Mankins and how that changes the Patriots and the Patriots offensive line. Well, Moss is still out there. We have a 4 o'clock deadline. It's just past 3:30 now. And as of 4 o'clock, we're going to know where he ends up or if he ends up anywhere. The waiver process will be complete. He is not the only name out there on the waiver wire, though. The only interesting name. Not the only interesting name out there on the waiver wire. Everyone is obviously keeping close watch on the fate of Moss, but Jay Glazer of FoxSports.com reports that the Bills are saying they are going to plan, or they're planning anyway, to make a waivers claim for linebacker Sean Merriman, the former Chargers LB. And since the Bills sit atop the priority list, it looks like they're going to get him. GM Buddy Nix said he's apparently, actually, GM Buddy Nix worked for the Chargers when they drafted Merriman out of Maryland a few years ago, and he's also, I'm reading for Pro Football Talk now, he's smart enough to realize it's not the lack of steroids in his body, but injuries to it that have kept Merriman from playing well since the 2007 season. We talked a little bit about Moss and the fact that he is still out there, whether or not he would come back to the Patriots. Apparently the Rams are still interested. I'll put it this way. The Rams are saying that they're still doing their homework. They're still out there. They haven't denied the fact that they would be interested in Randy Moss as of yet. Earlier today, Rams head coach Steve Spagnuolo talked a little bit about what it would take to get Moss to St. Louis. And he said, we're doing our homework, but the homework is not completed as of yet. He talked, by this report that he talked to the media about 1 o'clock or so today and said, at this point, no decision has been made, but he didn't come out and deny it like many other teams did. Apparently the Jets are among the teams that have come out flatly and said, we have no interest in putting in a claim for Moss. Now we're hearing at this point, as we get closer and closer to the 4 o'clock deadline involving the waiver wire, the Titans are apparently interested in putting in a claim for Randy Moss, the former Patriots wide receiver, well, as Vikings wide receiver, who was cut loose a couple days ago by Minnesota in the wake of that one catch, 8-yard performance here against the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up, who he ends up playing for. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The number is 508-543-7482. That number again, 508-543-7482. You can also send us an email to webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Let me read this from you. Again, we're reading from Pro Football Talk because they are the place to go to on a day like today. Actually, this is according to Don Banks from SI.com. The Titans have submitted a claim for Moss's contract. Apparently, they're number 22 on the list. So if that's true, Titans will only get Moss if none of the 21 teams ahead of Tennessee put in a claim. So we'll be interested again. Once again, it's going to be interesting to see where number 81 ends up. It looks like if this report is accurate and he does end up going to the Titans or ends up getting claimed by the Titans, people here in New England can forget about seeing number 81 back in a Patriots uniform. Well, one of the things, really this week starts an interesting stretch for the Patriots. We talked a little bit about it earlier. They have Cleveland this week. Then they travel to Pittsburgh. They have a road game at Cleveland. They travel to Pittsburgh on the 14th, Sunday night game against the Steelers at Heinz Field, which should be a very good one. November 21st, they host the Colts. Then they are on the road Thanksgiving against Detroit, and then they're home against the Jets on a Monday night game, Monday night, December 6th. So really the next five games, maybe you could argue with the exception of Detroit. Well, no, I'll throw Detroit in there. Their young team are doing a lot of good things on both sides of the ball. But really the next five games, I think, are going to tell a lot about this Patriots team and where they are going forward. They right now sit at 6-1. They have the best record in the National Football League, but if they can get through this stretch, I'm going to say this next five-game stretch, let's say at 4-1, you got to like their chances heading into the stretch, heading into that all-important run, that post-Thanksgiving run that they always talk about around here, that really defines who a team is and how far they can go in the postseason. But again, this week, it's Cleveland and Eric Mangini. We're going to hear from Eric Mangini right now, talking a little bit about the chance to face the Patriots, the opportunity to go up against Bill Belichick in New England this week out there in Cleveland.
What's going on?
Hey, Coach.
So we've heard a little bit already from what you've told some Cleveland reporters, but what is your quarterback situation now? I saw two guys are already not practicing this week. Where does it stand?
It's probably the same as the last couple games. Seneca's got a better chance of coming back this week than I think Jake does, although they're both getting closer. So right now, Cole will take the first reps, and we'll see where Sonic is here tomorrow and Friday.
Coach, Belichick traded Randy Moss. He leaves here. They haven't lost a game since. The player has since been released by the Minnesota Vikings. What are your thoughts on that whole story?
Well, I think the pick of a Deion Branch was huge. I think he's a really good player and knows the system, works well with Tom. I think that's helped a lot. And, you know, offensively, it's such a well-oiled machine that, you know, whoever's playing has an opportunity to make plays, and Tom does such a great job of distributing the ball across the board, and then the way that they can run the ball effectively. I think there's a lot of people that you have to defend against and a lot of different scheme things that you have to defend against. And the players that they have there have done a great job with it.
Eric, serious question. What kind of...
We're all together, not so serious.
No, this is a real serious one, though.
Okay.
What kind of handshake you think you and Bill will have after the game?
I knew you were setting me up for something. You know, I'm sure it'll be firm and brisk. It might be, a textbook.
He gave Childress a two-hander. Are you hoping for one of those?
Well, I haven't gone through the range of shakes that are available. I might have to seek an outside consultant.
Eric, what have you seen out of Colt? I was covering the Packers at the time. I saw him in the preseason. He was a little shaky, but past two games, it seems like he's done a nice job for you guys.
Yeah, he really has. It's different than anything I experienced, because I think Colt had a more difficult time going from being the man of Texas, getting all the reps and all that work, to coming here where he was really the 3/4, not getting very many reps, not having a consistent flow. And then when he got the opportunity with the two injuries, it felt very comfortable for him, and he didn't really miss a beat, and that was really positive to see from my perspective. A lot of young guys, when they go in, there's real jitters, but Colt with the that role just seemed at home and broke down the team, spoke to the team the night before he started, and it was natural. It wasn't, none of it was forced, and that's one of the most positive things I see.
Mike Holmgren said yesterday that he kind of pulled rank with that selection of Colt. Can you explain how that went down?
Yeah, well, we were looking at we had a range of guys there, and one of the guys that we're actually seriously considering got picked a couple picks earlier, and then we're trying to make a decision, and we talked about it, and Mike wanted to get Colt, and at that point, both Tom and I looked at it as an opportunity to see what he could do.
Eric, the kidding about the handshake notwithstanding, is it safe to assume there's less drama to a Belichick versus Mangini game this time around, that your relationship is better with him than it might have been in the past?
Yeah, I think all that stuff we've moved on from, and I'm in a different place now, being in Cleveland, not in the division, and it's just we've been through that over the years, and I'm sure he views it the same way. It's just really about football.
Have you run into him recently in combines, general managers meetings, coaches meetings, anything along those lines?
Not really conversationally. I mean, see each other, but it's not really in between meetings or things like that, but not really some sort of extended type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Almost done.
Quiet over there.
Sorry about that.
One of the players came in.
No. I said it's very quiet over there. I said, is anybody in there? Is it just a few people there today?
There's about five of us, but like I said, one of the Patriot players walked through and made a ruckus. That's what screwed it up.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was no problem.
Eric, what have you thought of, Benjamin Watson? He's leading you guys in receiving. Has it been a little bit of a surprise?
He's been great. He's been great. You know, I knew Ben pretty well from my time there. He's such a good guy and a good teammate, and that was a priority, getting those guys as free agents. And then he gives us something in terms of his ability to stretch the field vertically. I think he's done a good job blocking as well. So, been happy with all the things he's done.
Eric, you came up through the Parcells Belichick tree, and now you're working for a guy, Mike Holmgren, who came up through Bill Walsh, the West Coast offense. How different has it been, if at all?
Mike's been great about his approach, and he's been there to bounce ideas off of and talk to and things like that, which has been really good. You don't really get that as a head coach. It's kind of exciting too, because being in one family for as long as I was, you don't get exposed to a lot of the other ideas and a lot of the other ways of doing things. So to have that, and to be able to ask questions about that, about philosophies, how things develop, practice schedules, approaches. Typically, you don't get a chance to do that. So that's been really good from a developmental standpoint for me.
What's typically been your kind of involvement week to week with Mike?
We'll get together during the week. Nothing scheduled. It's not like the same time every week, but we'll do that, whether it's in his office or my office, and then we'll talk at practice as well. So it's not scripted, but it's consistent over the course of the week. Mm.
Mike came in, obviously, and like you said, it was a completely different family of coaches. The way things were going last year for a while till you guys got hot down the stretch. Did you think that he was going to retain you? I mean, that honestly, that must have surprised you a little bit.
There were a lot of questions, obviously, at the end of the season about how he was going to prepare for it and things like that. And it wasn't the meeting, the discussions wasn't going to be something that I prepared for, because I really believe in what we do. And I really believe in the decisions that we made. And they weren't all right, but there was a rationale for all of them.
Hey, Coach, can we interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
Hey, what's your plan to stop Tom Brady this week?
God, he is such a god in every area. I don't think it's humanly possible. I mean, you talk about football player, movie star.
You wouldn't say that if we were just sitting here talking. I know that.
I'm just so happy I get to talk to him from time to time.
I'll see you. Take care, babe.
See you, guys. see ya.
Sorry, we couldn't resist.
No, no, that's great. Hopefully that won't be the closest we get to him.
What's the best piece of advice that Holmgren's given you?
Best piece of advice. Some of the advice that we, or some of the things that we've talked about aren't football related. I mean, he's raised really great, successful kids. And that's something that he and I have talked a lot about, because I've got the three young boys, and just how he maintained perspective, how he balanced coaching and family. That's hard to do. And, he had some great insight there. And, you know, I don't want to be a bad dad in order to be a good coach.
I think we're a good coach.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
There we go. Eric Mangini, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, talking a little bit about, actually talking a lot about the influence of Mike Holmgren on his team, the GM, the guy who is in charge, what it's been like working with him, and the opportunity to play the Patriots. You saw Tom Brady sneak in there as well. Thought that was interesting, a little give and take there between Mangini and Brady. That's always good stuff. But a lot of good stuff here on the show this week here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, sitting in for John Rook. Earlier in the show, we talked a little bit about Logan Mankins and the return of Mankins and what that means for the Patriots and the offensive line and when they think he'll be back. And I still tend to think that you're looking at a possible return 2 to 3 weeks down the road, not this week, perhaps next week against Pittsburgh. Or, really, I still think the outside shot is, the Indianapolis game on the 21st or Detroit on November 25th on Thanksgiving. So the possibility of Mankins looming, the possibility of Randy Moss returning to New England, we kicked that around a little bit, but now it appears that the Tennessee Titans have put in a waiver claim. That's the report that we're hearing anyway from Sports Illustrated. Don Banks from SI.com is reporting that the Tennessee Titans have put in a waiver claim on Randy Moss, the former Vikings and Patriots wide receiver, could be playing in Tennessee sooner rather than later. We talked a little bit about that. If you have anything you want to say, if you want to add your 2 cents, feel free to send us an email to webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. You can also give a call, 508-543-7482. That number again is 508-543-7482. We're going to take a real quick break and come back to wrap things up right after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Back here on Patriots Playbook, my name is Chris Price, sitting in for John Rook. I'm usually with the folks at WEEI. You can read my stuff over at WEEI.com. I'm also one of the co-hosts of NFL Sunday over there on WEEI. I believe this week we're running from 9 to 12 in advance of the Patriots-Browns game over there on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. And I'm filling in for John Rook today, though, here on Patriots Playbook. Give us a call at 508-543-7482. You can also send us an email to webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We've talked a lot about Logan Mankins today. We've talked a lot about Randy Moss. One of the things we haven't talked a whole lot about are the Cleveland Browns, who the Patriots are playing this week. This Sunday out in Cleveland, that's a 1 o'clock start on CBS. It's funny, you go back over the announcers for these last few games, and the Patriots have usually been treated to kind of high-level announcers, you know, the Joe Bucks, the, you know, the Al Michaels, those kind of guys. They're not exactly sending out the varsity to cover this one for the Patriots. It's Bill McAtee and Rich Gannon on CBS, so take that for what it's worth. The Browns are an interesting team. They had a really good outing last week, a couple of weeks ago. Actually, 2 weeks ago, they're just coming off their bye week. Week 7, they knocked off the New Orleans Saints down in the Dome, 30-17. In that game, Colt McCoy, the rookie out of Texas, went 9 for 16 for 74 yards. The week before that, though, in a loss to Pittsburgh, McCoy was 23 for 33 for 281 yards and a touchdown. And it looks more and more like, although they wouldn't really tip their hand, Mangini actually wouldn't tip his hand about it today during the conference call, but it's looking more and more like Colt McCoy is going to be the starter this week against the New England Patriots. McCoy has not yet been told if he's starting, but he's really, at this point, sounds like he's preparing, if you will. He told the Associated Press earlier today, "I'm here for whatever they ask me to do. That's a coach's decision. Jake and Seneca," meaning Jake Delhomme and Seneca Wallace, "aren't practicing, and I treat it the same way I've treated the last several weeks. It's to prepare like I'm the starter every time. Whether it ends that way or not, I'm going to be prepared to play, and I'm just working as hard as I can because the rest of this team is doing the same thing. I want to be able to step out the field and be at my best to give this team the best chance to win." McCoy, a very interesting quarterback. We talked a little bit about this, the fact that he came out of Texas. He's a rookie, and apparently, by the sound of things, wasn't really Eric Mangini's first choice to take with that pick, but Mike Holmgren really pushed for him. He's the guy he wanted. He's the guy he wanted in place. And with the injuries to the two veterans, Jake Delhomme and Seneca Wallace, McCoy's gotten his chance to start, and when he's started, he's played relatively well. So that's one thing to look for this week, the emergence of Colt McCoy, the young quarterback. It's also going to be interesting. Again, we talked about playing in Cleveland and going to Cleveland and how difficult it is sometimes when you're on the road against a young team, a good young team. I don't want to say good young team, a relatively good young team. You don't want to let them have too much confidence too early in the contest. And I think that's really one of the biggest keys for this Patriots team, is to come out early, put, you know, 10 to 14 point lead on the scoreboard by the end of the first half, take that crowd out of the game, deflate any sort of confidence that that team might have, and really kind of, you know, put the idea of them coming together, pulling out an upset out of their minds, taking care of that without any problem at all. Once again, you're listening to Patriots Playbook right here on Patriots.com. My name is Chris Price. I am filling in for John Rook. And coming up next, what do we got? He's going to, these folks just walked in. I hope you guys have the next show.
Yes, this is Shop Talk.
Shop
coming
Talk.
Up next.
Exactly. Exactly. Shop Talk. Well, it's nice to meet you guys. What are you guys going to be talking about?
We've got Tracy Sermani in here from the Patriots Cheerleaders. We'll be talking about ladies' gear today.
Nice. Sounds good. I want to get your take. We've been talking a little bit about Logan Mankins. We've been talking a little bit about Randy Moss. Now, Randy Moss, by
I've got product to sell.
Both of them.
Yes.
it sounds like Randy Moss, they put in a claim for him, or Tennessee at this point has put in a claim for him. He's not coming back to New England. Yeah, so take that for what it's worth. It's going to be interesting.
Then his stuff is still discounted.
That's a good question. Is the stuff going to be discounted?
It's already discounted because we traded him a month ago. So,
well, that sounds good.
We don't have much of it left, but it is discounted. Yep.
Sounds good. Well, you got Shop Talk coming up next. Once again, my name is Chris Price. I've been filling in for John Rook. I've had a lot of fun doing it. Next week, Thursday, John should be back here on Patriots.com doing Patriots Playbook. I've had a lot of fun. I want to thank my guests, Jeff Howe from Nesson.com and Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. Stay tuned, Patriots.com, for Shop Talk.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.